Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And a couple of weeks ago, I looked at why we call Good Friday good. Well, this week, I decided I will actually take a look at the question of why did Good Friday have to happen? First, let me just kind of give a little history lesson. Good Friday traditionally is related to the Friday before Easter and is viewed as the day on which Jesus was crucified. Although, when I was researching into the episode on why Good Friday is actually called good, I found that there are some research slash views that hold that the crucifixion actually took place on the Wednesday of Holy Week in order to provide that full 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. I'm not here to debate or state which is correct. I'm just going to go with what is traditionally held regarding Good Friday. With many churches having basically Good Friday and Easter services that preach on the actual topic of Good Friday, of the crucifixion, I won't go into depth regarding the gospel accounts of the death, burial, and resurrection. I mean, I'm sure at the beginning of this month and leading up to Easter, you've probably got enough preaching on that. But rather, I'd probably say I'm going to go into a more philosophical aspect of why did Good Friday have to happen at all? And when looking at it, at the why for Good Friday, some people might go and look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But then when you get posed with the question of, well, why on that verse, one might go, okay, well, Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But when I'm asking why on John 3:16, I'm not asking so much on why it was that Jesus died and the aspect of being a sacrifice, but more in why was God willing, basically, why does God love us so much that he would offer such a great sacrifice? And really, to answer that question, I find it really best to go back to the beginning. I mean, I've said it a couple weeks ago that you can find the answer, basically the entire gospel account, pretty much in the first three chapters of Genesis. And what I want to look at is the first chapter of Genesis, where we pretty much find the reason why God was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice, offer up Jesus as himself as a sacrifice. So let's look at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God said that it was good. And God said, Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit, in which their seed, each according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And he let them be for signs for the seasons, and for the days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures, every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures, according to their kind, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, I'll admit that actually when I stumbled upon my answer I stumbled upon my answer of why Good Friday had to happen even before I knew the question I was answering. You see, when I looked at why we call Good Friday good, and seeing it was due to the Old English definition of good being a synonym for holy, I decided to look at the usage of good and the creation account. For some reason, it was laid on my heart to do so. And in doing so, I went to one of my favorite resources when wanting to go through the punishment of figuring out the original Hebrew or Greek, basically the website Blue Letter Bible. And this is where I need to mention that the Hebrew word used in Genesis is not the Hebrew word used for holy, which is what I was kind of hoping to find. The word used for holy is kadosh, but what we find here is Tob. But I figured for some reason I felt the need to explore this concept and look at what good meant in the creation account. As I said, it got laid on my heart, so I couldn't just leave it at, well, it doesn't mean holy, so there's not really anything to see here. Rather, what I did was I started looking at what information the Strong's Concordance, through Blue Letter Bible's website, had regarding Tob. And what I found is, in the King James, this word was translated into good, better, well, goodness, goodly, best, merry, fair, prosperity, fine, wealth, fairer, favor, glad, beautiful, and finally, really the one that kind of stood out to me, precious. Now, I'm not sure about you, but growing up, my exposure to Genesis 1, I was kind of led to believe that good here meant perfect. Or possibly, kind of along the lines of, yeah, that's nice. I mean, this was before sin entered into the world, so of course everything was good. There was no evil, and creation was still perfect. The problem is when you look at grammar. And I will admit, I'm not an English major. English was actually one of my worst subjects. But if we take a look, if we take good to mean perfect, though, how can something be very perfect? Because if you remember, everything was good until he created man, and then it was very good. I mean, very perfect is kind of like how, I don't know if any of you have read the book Animal Farm, where there's a statement in it, all animals are created equal, some are more equal than others. I mean, the concept of very perfect kind of seems like that more equal than others type concept. And I could also probably go on and make an argument that in Genesis 1 we find God's omniscience being displayed and not just his omnipotence. Basically, that he's all-knowing, his sovereignty, and not just him being all-powerful. But for the time being, let's just look at using the term precious in place of good for right now. You see, when something is precious to you, and I'm not talking about like how some people might go, well, isn't that precious? Kind of as like a downplay of, kind of, well, isn't that nice? No, what I'm talking about precious is probably more along the lines of if you think of Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, my precious. When we say something, when something is precious to you, you tend to treasure it. You will do anything to hold on to it, or if it is lost, you'll possibly do anything to get it back. I mean, I'll admit, growing up, I had a baby blanket that I would take just about everywhere I was allowed to. I vaguely remember one time on a family trip, it got left at a hotel, and my parents ended up having to go back to get it. I was so distraught over having left it. And to an extent, even though I outgrew the baby blanket, stopped carrying it around with me, I actually still know where there is a piece of it. Because as I outgrew it, it pretty much got passed along to some of our dogs as a form of comfort to them. That blanket was precious to me. I mean, I still know where there is part of that baby blanket at. In fact, for a while, until he started loving it too much, my current dog had it as kind of a comfort and some bedding outside of his kennel when I'm home. Another example and I alluded to it earlier, is that most people have, when you hear precious, is, and most people have probably heard of the Lord of the Rings movies, where Gollum and that one ring, his precious, which after losing it, he went so far as to bite off Frodo's finger to get the ring, and out of the joy of getting the ring back and his celebration, losing his balance, but rather than trying to get let go of the ring and save himself, fell into a pool of lava just to keep from losing that ring again. Now, I'm not saying that we should go that far with what we find precious, but it does kind of help illustrate where I'm going. Now, when we look back to Genesis 1, we see pretty much on every day of creation, God made something and viewed it as good, or as I kind of would like to propose, precious, as something that he treasured. Then we get to God creating man. And what we see is not just that it was good, but that it was very good, something that God would greatly treasure, something that he would do anything for. And when I start looking at the creation account and the use of good as in that way, it kind of brings a whole new dimension to Good Friday and even John 3:16. For God so loved the world, his precious and treasured creation, that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, when God created the world, and man specifically, he knew the events of Good Friday were going to happen. I kind of said I wasn't really going to get into his display of omniscience in Genesis 1, but I kind of am alluding to it right now. He knew Good Friday was going to happen. We always look at it as Christ's death on the cross was plan A. There was never going to be a plan B. God knew it was going to happen. Yet he still viewed us as being precious to him. That there was no price too high or steep for him to pay in order to restore our relationship with him. In order to allow us to come to him, to accept the grace he offers to each and every one of us, he was willing to do anything, even give his life on the cross as the perfect blood sacrifice to cover our sins. And if viewing creation, I mean, if that doesn't show you how much God loves the world, that he, knowing we were going to turn on him when he created us, was still willing to go to those lengths. He still viewed us as precious, knowing we were going to turn on him. He viewed us precious enough to be willing to give up his life on the cross, to sacrifice himself to be the perfect sacrifice, so that we might have a relationship with him. Again, and that is why Good Friday had to happen. And this is Chuck Groover again, and that's God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries. and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.